It's Tuesday, the day we read from your emails. Our program on July 4th about the meaning of America sent many of you to your computers. From U.S. history teacher Amber Taylor, we heard this: we do have a tendency to be arrogant and sometimes short-sighted, but I believe that in essence, what has always made us great is our goodness and our belief that our cause, though not always flawless, is good. We sometimes fail to live up to that goodness. We sometimes fail to question or to be honorable and stick to what we know is right, even when it's unpopular. That kind of moral courage is harder to find today, but still in great need. And Deirdre Pangle sent us this email: no matter how disappointed I am with our current administration, I always feel a strong love and respect for the U.S. As a gay woman, hearing stories about others born like me being beaten and killed, and even knowing how far we have to go as a nation, I love who we are today. Being an American for me is to take responsibility for it all and provide action and productive criticism. Amy Bishop in California heard our program about manly men and the blurring of gender lines, and she wrote: from Angelina Jolie's Tomb Raider character to Keira Knightley's sword-fighting Pirate King persona, it seems women are more masculine than ever. With men moving into more feminine roles, gender lines may be blurring. I find this liberating and sometimes similar to what has happened in fashion and music, where blending styles and an anything-goes attitude are becoming the norm. On the other hand, Mark White said, I'll tell you what's not manly: worrying about whether or not you're manly. On our opinion page last week, Professor Barry Schwartz decried New York City's plan to offer cash rewards to students for good grades. Margie Koldinger sent us this response: ah, come on. How many of us, either middle-class kids or parents, either got paid or pay for good grades? The kids involved probably don't have parents at home who encourage or goad them into taking school seriously. Schools do have a standing in loco parentis. It's not a sign that families have disappeared, but a recognition that some kids don't have an observant, supportive parent. Elizabeth Colquitt in Ohio agrees with Professor Schwartz and wrote, students are paid for their work in school, in a piece of paper called a diploma that's worth tens of thousands of dollars a year and probably millions over the course of a lifetime. It would be mean and petty to sully that achievement by marrying it to a desire for ready cash. And finally, last week we talked about a new study which says that when it comes to marriage, Americans now rank sharing chores and a good sex life more highly than having children. Larry Slater wrote to tell us, we've been married for 25 years, have two adult children, and I found the reason for our success is compromise, 90% mine and 10% hers. If you have comments, questions, or corrections for us, the best way to reach us is by email. Our address is talk@npr.org. Please let us know where you're writing from and give us some help on how to pronounce your name. Talk of the Nation is produced by Susan Lund, Ashley Grashaw, Dahlia Martinez, Enrique Rivera, Susanna George, and Barry Hardiman. Our editor is Scott Cameron. Beth Novi produces our web content. The intern is Jasmine Garzd. Gwen Uten directs the program. The assistant producer is Sarah Handel. She gets help this week from Allison Gilbert. Kimberly Jones is the technical director, and she gets engineering help from Neil Tevault, Sean Phillips, and Brian Jarbo. Talk of the Nation's theme music was composed by Greg Smith. I'm Neil Conan. This is Talk of the Nation from NPR News.